you guys clapping and everything. We are going to talk about something today that kind of, it's every reason you're not going to clap when I'm talking. No, it's okay. It's okay. First of all, hello to those of you at Fenton, Grants Trail, Mid Rivers, online, around the world. This week in this country, the word freedom will get used a lot in the next couple of 3 days. We'll celebrate the gift of freedom that we have, and we should thank God for that. The freedom that we have to gather and worship the way we are right now. But if you were paying really close attention to the words of that song or to the song before that song, you would have picked up on something. So it says, when it's talking about your grace washes every wrong right. When in the other song it says, when I see your cross, I see freedom. We are way beyond patriotic at this point. That's a different kind of freedom. That's an eternal freedom. That's a deep, rich, it's just more. So what I want you to do now, and if you're visiting, we do this from time to time. You don't have to play along. But I'd like for you to just to hang around with some folks and just talk to them a little bit about freedom. Like concepts of, like what does freedom look like for you? What does freedom feel like for you? Let go of the patriotic part. We're grateful for that. Thank God for that. But this is more personal. What is freedom to you? Some of you have permission to right now say, I don't get it. I don't have it right now. Some of you might say, I don't think I'm even buying what you're selling. I'm barely here. Some of you might get to a place where you go, this is what I want freedom in. But I'll bet you there's a few of you that could say, this is what freedom is for me. This is what it is. This is where I've experienced it. So talk to each other's sites. You know how to reach us. I want us together to talk about this freer, fuller life today. And then we're going to have some fun. All right? So these guys are going to keep playing. So start talking to each other. Let's hang out. Give us some of your answers in just a minute. Okay? So go ahead. Talk to each other. We'll come back in a second. All right. Okay. So I'm going to ask for some answers from the sites in just a second. But anybody here, what is freedom? What does it feel like? What does it look like in your life? Let's talk about you. Anybody got anything? Say it again. Hope. Hope. Oh, there you are. Hope. Hope. Yeah. So it's hope. You live with hope. And the world these days is in dire need of that. People that you and I both know are in need of that. Okay, all right. Okay, you got something, Chris?
It's from Grant's Trail, from a new mom having a babysitter.
That's practical, man. That's practical. That's freedom. It's also a little bit of that concept of, I'm not going to do this alone. It's a concept of that idea of community. It's like, can you help me with this? Yes, that's very cool. Anybody else got anything? What freedom feels like, looks like? Yep, in the back there. Worshiping God. So there is this freedom that not just that we have to worship but God, but there's freedom in worshiping Him. It's like, wow, I'm He's here, He's responding to me. I got a story to tell, and okay, that's cool. Yep.
Changing direction when you need to.
Changing direction when you need to. So there's a freedom there to know that you can do that. Anybody else got anything? We're describing this different life. So far, if I'm correct, all women. All women. Thank you, sir. What do you got?
Free to love.
Free to love. Yes. And can we agree that there has to be freedom for it to be love? I can't command somebody to love me. That's kind of a thing we can talk about with God, too. He gives us the freedom to, okay, yeah, that's good. All right. Yeah, here come the guys now. Yes.
Getting out of debt.
It's a thing, isn't it? There's a freedom that you have to get out of debt. Say one more thing about that, because I know this is a passion for you. So you're locked down, you're locked in. You can't make any decisions until you start to make your way out of that debt, and then there's a freedom. Freedom to breathe, freedom to live, freedom to, yeah, that's good. And those are conscious choices you have to make, intentional steps you have to take to get to that. Okay, so whether we're talking about debt, and some of you are like, oh man, I didn't know we were talking about money, but you know, it could be anything that you're talking about. You will have conscious, intentional steps that you have to take to get to that place of freedom, okay? So one more, yes, and then, okay, two more, yeah.
Free from striving.
Free from striving, so it's like, I don't have to earn my way into God's favor, He loves me, and then one more.
When I did something wrong, and when I even know I was doing something wrong, I didn't have to pay for it.
Okay, so when you did something wrong, and you're talking about your relationship with God, so God forgives you, and God doesn't condemn you because of that. Okay, all right. Chris, I'm going to give you one last shot, and then we're going to jump in
all
here.
All right. Somebody in Fenton says, the ability to be open and honest about everything.
Okay, all right, okay. So these all describe a different, fuller life. I want to take you to something now. We're not going to pull apart a passage the way we normally do. I'm going to read you something. It'll be our foundation, and then we're going to get really practical and have some fun. And end, as you've already heard, we're going to end things a little bit differently. So here we go. Paul in Ephesians 3 is talking about all that God has done, God's plan, what God is up to, what God is doing in the universe. And he says it all comes together in Jesus. In fact, in verse 11 of Ephesians 3, it says that it all comes together in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through him, through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. So now there's the first time that we see the word freedom. It won't be the last time today, but that word freedom can also be translated boldness. So you get to approach God because of what Jesus has done for you. If you trust him, you get to go directly to God. The writer of Hebrews uses the same word and says you can go boldly to God. You can go to the throne room of God. You don't need any middleman. You don't need a go-between. You can go to God boldly, and there's freedom in that, okay? There is something here. There's a different kind of life you get to live because of Jesus. Paul now continues this thought. He's kind of overwhelmed with it, and he goes on a riff that is really one of the grand, glorious prayers in the New Testament. So what I want us to do is to begin and end our time together with that prayer. Can we do that? So if you would, wherever you are, would you stand with us now? I'm going to read these words. This will be our prayer. Remember what Paul has just been talking about now in verse 14. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Heavenly Father, I now come before you and I pray that prayer for me and for everyone who has now joined us in this moment. God, we're asking for this. I want to experience that freer, fuller, richer life with you. I want to know that I know that I know that not just that you love me, but that you've called me into this. God, I know I'm not alone. I pray that some people for the first time will experience this freedom and love that is offered to them. I pray that some of us for the first time in a long time will actually start to live in that. But God, as I've been saying all weekend long, I am so grateful that this isn't just what I want. This is what you want for us. So help us to get there. Help us to understand a little bit more today. But God, more than anything, help us to take a step, each of us, just one step today. I ask this in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. All right, why don't you guys have a seat and let's start trying to answer some of this. How does this free life, this fuller life, this different life happen? Well, there were some hints and clues in there that I just want you to notice. It says, as Christ becomes more at home in your heart. That's pretty personal. People who are at home in your life, that, it doesn't get any more personal than that. And then he says, as you trust Christ. So whatever we talk about today with this fuller, freer life, it is personal. If you want to experience this life, it has to be personal. You can't watch it from a distance. You can't try to live through somebody else's faith. It's got to be yours. So think of it this way. Somebody that you trust. You've got somebody in your life that you trust, yes? And my guess is that if you trust them, it didn't start off with you trusting them as much as you trust them now. I mean, it never works that way. Even those of you who tell me that you fell in love at first sight, even then, you had to take a step and see how trustworthy that person was. And it's like, okay, I just took a little bit of a risk. Okay, they're good for it. You took another step. I think I can trust it. Maybe you shared a little bit more. It's like, okay, that's cool. Wait, we had a little setback there, but wait, we got over it. We're resilient, and you kind of, every step you take, every one of these moments, every one of these risks, you begin to find out that person is good for it. That person is trustworthy. That's how relationships build, in your experience of another person. It's the same thing with God. In many ways, there will be a moment where he calls you to take just another step. It'll be another step. Are you ready for that next step? Are you ready for that next moment of obedience? Are you ready? It's kind of like the first time you stepped off of one of these. Do you remember the first time you stepped off of one of these? Some of you are like, not really. Like for me, it was like you started on the side of the pool. Yeah, because like, no, you got to learn how to dive before you can go off the board. And I was like, so then you had to do this thing. And you went in, and it's just so lame. That's not diving. This was what was calling me. Does anybody else remember that? Where it was just like, oh, yeah, I got to try that. No, maybe it was because there was a friend, a parent in the water coaching you, coaxing you, saying, come on, it'll be great. I'll be right there with you. Maybe it was your friends that were saying, oh, man, you got to do this. But for many of us, there was a moment where we took a deep breath and then we inched our way out. Maybe we crawled our way out. We walked our way out to the edge of the board. Do you remember that? Do you remember the internal conversation going on in your head while you did it? There was a voice saying, do it! And there was another voice saying, don't do it. There was a voice saying, oh, your friends have done it. It's just going to be fun. Come on, man, we're all doing it. There was another voice in your head saying, my mom told me just because everybody else jumps off a cliff doesn't mean I have to. Little side note, if you ever do get to the edge of a cliff and you begin to see maybe you're going to take that step, you're going to take that jump, it's the same conversation going on in your head. Now, I'm not suggesting that. I'm not encouraging that. The legal department has said for me, don't try that at home. I'm not encouraging cliff diving. I'm just saying, theoretically, if you're a little bit older and you got to a place, I don't know, say you were floating on the Black River, just say theoretically, and there was a 25-foot, 30-foot cliff there, and everybody else was jumping off of it, and it was your time to jump, you're going to have the same conversation. Now, it was about 4 feet that you had to clear. You had to run. It was an all-in bet. You didn't stand here. You ran and jumped in. But theoretically, it was the same conversation. Do I do this? Do I not do this? Do you guys remember when you were on the edge of the board and it was like, am I going to do this or not? Some of you are like, no, I do not remember that. I've never gotten to the edge of the board. I don't like this at all. I don't like you being out there right now. I haven't heard the last few words you even said. You're freaking me out. Gang, we test this stuff. This stuff is engineered. We're good to go. I just want you to get in touch with that feeling, that edge of the board feeling. Are we there? Now, what if that were still true in your life today? What if the God of the universe was saying, like a loving parent, I've got you. I'm with you. I'll catch you. But the rest of that life, that fuller, freer life, we're going to have to dive in a little bit further. We're going to have to take another step. You're going to have to trust me one more time, one more time. You see, I believe that that longing in some of your hearts is there for a reason, because God has made you for more. Is it normal? Is it expected for us to sometimes feel a little awkward out on the end of this? Absolutely. But the truth is, you'll never know about that fuller, richer life until you take the next step. Now, I'm going to back off of this now so that some of you can breathe. You've been holding your breath for too long. But it's kind of like 2 weeks ago when Maximus the Confessor, you remember that really funny name? Maximus the Confessor, who said Christianity is an entirely new way of being human. What he means by that is because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, you get life with God at such a different personal way. It's just a different, fuller way to be human. This is what you were made for. It's really a lot. But you begin to know that you know that you know deep down that you are that loved by God. Deep in your bones, you know that God wants you in the game. And you begin to discover in big ways and small ways that he's up to stuff and you get to be a part of it. It is a different way of living. That's what Paul's talking about in Ephesians 3. That's what Jesus is talking about in the Gospel of John when he says, I've come to so that you might have life to the full, to the fullest, like up to the brim and spilling over. So does Jesus know what he's talking about? Do you believe him? Because if any of this is possible, like, then that could change things, like now, like with the rest of the summer we have. I don't mean to be a downer here, but you do understand we're already a third of the way through the summer. June is over. July and August, that's what you got, you know? I mean, I'm not trying to depress, like, the kids out there, but, like, we're getting there. But even with the weeks that we have left, we could do something. If this is really true and we took these steps, it could change the way you make decisions now. It could change the way you treat your family. It could change the way you listen to your kids. It could change the way you wait just maybe one more sentence before interrupting someone. It could change the way you handle your money. It could change the way you look at people who don't think, look, act, or vote like you. It could change the way that you dream about what's still possible, the way you live with hope. It could change the way that you the way that you handle that really tough, threatening thing that just came at you at work. It could change the way you grieve, the way you handle that really tough news that you just got. It could change the way you celebrate, the way you laugh, the way you work, the way you study, the way you take care of yourself. It could be the way for some of you to finally turn the page and start the new chapter of your life. And it could start now. It could. It could. But that will require you being intentional about it. It will require you taking another step. A little bit of what we heard last week from Jared, which was I thought was a great setup to this whole series. It'll require you in some ways to kind of go on record and say, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. Like one way you could say this is that you're going to make a vow. Now, people make vows to do things that they shouldn't be doing. I'm not saying every vow is good, but it's an ancient biblical practice. You see vows being made in Scripture. In Psalm 76:11, it says, make a vow to the Lord and fulfill it. Ecclesiastes 5:4 says, if you make a vow, don't treat it lightly. Don't just play around with this stuff. There are vows that you can make. Now, not all the vows in Scripture were good vows. Sometimes people made really stupid commitments. But there are wonderful, glorious moments where you go, I'm going on record and I'm doing this. Psalm 116, look at what David says. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. You see it all throughout Scripture. You guys just read a second ago there. Jacob makes a vow in Genesis 28. Hannah makes a vow in 1 Samuel. People go on record and they make vows to God and say, you know what? I'm going to do it. Last week, Jarrett said it was the difference between wanting and willing. It's anybody can say, yeah, I want to do that. Are you willing? And I'll go you one further. Are you willing to go on record and say, you can ask me about it. I'm going to do it. Now, this is the season of vows, isn't it? Like how many of you in the last few weeks, in the next few weeks, are going to attend a wedding? Just go ahead and raise your hand. Some of you are looking for ways out of that wedding. I know. You're already going to be sick. I get it. But the truth is, this is the moment, these are the seasons oftentimes when people, this is when weddings happen, right? Okay, and so I know you guys are married, so, which is so much better than last service because I went up to a couple and I said, so you guys married? And they went, no. And I said, you want to be? I wish you could have seen the look on his face. I thought it was hilarious. He didn't. Because she immediately went, well, what do you think? And we started a whole thing. So, but you guys are married. Would you just stand up for a second? I don't need you to do anything. I just need you to turn if the CC's already. Yeah, hang on there, cowboy. I just want you to turn to her. That's all, okay? So, but here's what you would see. If you went to one of the weddings that our pastors did, of course, one of the first things you would hear is, dearly beloved. I mean, that's what, it's like 20 Prince songs. Thank you for knowing that. Okay. But you would get to a portion of the ceremony, and I'm going to go out on a limb and tell you what you might hear, but I'm going to predict something you'll never hear. This is what you would hear from one of our pastors. They would get to a place where they would say, you know, they would ask the groom as he's looking into the eyes of his bride, "Do you solemnly promise before God, your family, and friends to love your wife, comfort her, honor, and in a spirit of submission to cherish her? And do you promise to be a faithful husband to her?" Now, that's the kind of thing that you'll hear at weddings. Let me now go out on a limb and predict what you will never hear at a wedding when that question is asked. And do you promise to be a faithful husband to her? You will never hear him say to her, "Well, I want to, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to overpromise or anything. I'll just keep the expectations low." That's not what you hear at weddings, is it? Because if you heard that, what you might hear next is the ch-ch of the bride's, you know, father. But anyway, the point here is this. What you hear after that question is, "I do. I will. Of course. I'm in." It's a public vow. It's a public vow. Okay, thank you very much. You guys did great. We can spend the rest of the day talking about how you have to live out those vows. You have to live them out. A vow that you make to God and to others, it's the work of living from there on out. We could talk about that. But very rarely do you see an important thing happen like that when it starts with a mamby-pamby, "I don't know, I want to do that, but I don't know." No, you go on record. You say, "I'm going to do this. By God's grace, I do. I will." What we are saying to each other is, this summer, let's make room for God to do something in our lives. Now, it'll be different for each of us. We're going to give you something in just a minute, a lot of things. But I'm going to do this. Oh, and by the way, if we make it public, even if it's to just a friend, then that friend can kind of help us and encourage us, not in creepy, guilt-producing ways, but in encouraging, "Hey, let's do this together" sort of ways. That's what takes us to what we're calling the in challenge. Now, everybody take out their phones if they would. I'm not asking, you don't have to do this. Just even if you take out your phones, you're not committing to this, but you might want to do it later. I understand some of you are way too cool to do what I'm asking. That's okay. You're just too cool for school. So, but for the rest of you, take your phones out and let me tell you what this is. This could be the way for you to take a step. It's threatening for some people, they won't do it. But for you, this might be a step that you take. Here's what the step will be. If you opt in, and you haven't yet, but if you opt in, you can always opt out. But if you opt in, you'll get one text from us every week, the rest of the summer. Just one text on Sunday nights. You'll get just one text. You won't get any advertisements. We won't bother you. We don't give this to anybody else. You'll get just one text from our team. And it'll give you a way, an opportunity to take another step. Some of those weeks are going to work perfectly for you. It's going to be an event. It's going to be something happening, and you're going to, we could do that. Some weeks you're not going to be able to. Some weeks it's very practical. It might be, "Hey, this is what the teacher will be teaching on this week. You might want to read this psalm." Okay, it's just something where you could take another step. I know families that have already said, "We're going to have a family night together on Sunday nights, and when we get the text, we're going to either commit or not commit. We're going to go on record with each other and say, yep, we can do this one this week." I know friends that have already said, "We're going to share with each other and say, okay, let's do this, not do this." It's a way for us to take a step together. So if you're interested, how do you do that? I'm so glad you asked. On your phone, like you're texting, I really want to make this simple for people. In the to section, you type in that number, 24587, and then pretend you're sending a message to that person. So now, down in the message section, just type capital I, capital N, which spells in. You do that, and then watch this, hit send, and the magic of the internet will take care of the rest of it, okay? Again, you can pull out of this at any point you want, but on every Sunday night now for the rest of the summer, you're going to get a little ding. It's just, hey, this is something we can do. And then talk to somebody and say, "You want to do this? Should we do this? Let's try this." You see, we really believe that you can still make progress in your spiritual journey, no matter how long you've been at this. In a text that gets overused and misquoted out of context all the time, and that's what I mean by overused. I don't think you can never overuse scripture, but it just gets yanked out so many times out of context. In John chapter 8, Jesus is going back and forth with some religious leaders who are his enemies. They don't like him. They don't believe what he's saying. But in John 8, he says, if you'll just do what I say, if you'll follow my commands, if you'll trust that I am who I say that I am, then you'll know the truth and fill in the rest of it. And the truth will set you free, baby. Everybody knows that one. It gets used out of context. The truth will set you free. No, what Jesus says is, if you follow him, if you do what he commands, then you'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free. Here's the deal. That word know in the Greek is the word gnosko, and it means to experience. So you know by experience. It doesn't mean I know what the capital of Nebraska is. It means I know because I've experienced this. It's a heart thing. So you follow Jesus, you take the step, you do what he says, and you begin to experience something, and that trust grows, and that leads to a freer life. But you'll never know it if you don't step into the water. God is leading each of us to these edge of the board moments where you go, well, wait, I already knew him. Yeah, but he's calling you one more time. Will you try this? Will you do this? And you step in and you find out that God has even more for you. Gang, if you're waiting until life is a little bit simpler, if you're waiting until things are better at home, until the finances are lined up, until you feel better physically, until you've got some of these struggles out of the way, you will never, ever take that step. If we learned anything from a couple of weeks ago, it was this. Those people got to a place where they said, I'm going to trust Jesus even with some of my stuff, and I'm going to keep working on it inside my faith. So we're asking you to consider what it might be to take a step. Now, with the time we have remaining, I just want to give you some examples of how that could work. I want to just give you some ideas of steps that you can take, okay? We don't want this to be theoretical, so I'm just going to go through this pretty fast. You guys know these three E's. We're not really explaining those now, but there are many things represented in those. If you guys would, just go to the experience one first. So the Dive In Summer Series. So this is the first week of that series. We're going to go through a few weeks now. Our teachers are going to be doing some really cool things, and it's a really cool array of... Like, I can't wait to hear what you're going to say, Chris, about how we need to lean into, like, the tough stuff and not run away from it and how God meets us in there. We've got, like, Joel and Dale that are teaching together, Tim and Angela. We've got all these different people. It's ending with people like Jeff Henderson from Atlanta that we love and David Hawkins, who always brings it. So it's a really cool run that we're now about to go through. But I'm going to sound like your pastor for just a second. One of the commits we could make is to actually be here. Hebrews 10:24 says, do not forsake the gathering together of believers, as some are in the habit of doing, but show up, gather together, so that you can encourage and spur one another on towards the good stuff. There's an African proverb that I quoted last service that I love this. It's if you want to get somewhere faster, travel alone. If you want to go further, travel together. I'm just telling you, I know life's hard. I know life is difficult. I know life is busy for each of us. Hey, you're going to take time off, and you should. I should. We should do this. Some of you are going to go see grandma. Some of you are going to go to Disney World. Some of you have got these huge, beautiful vacations. I mean, you're going to the south of France, the north of Dakota. I mean, you've got it all covered. But here's my point. Here's my point. If you're in town, then join us here. Let's do this and see if we can't get some momentum. I talk to people all the time who will come up to me and they will at times admit, I'm kind of stuck. It's sort of stale, Greg. I mean, I used to really be rolling with this thing. And it feels like I'm just watching you guys from a distance now. And then I ask permission. Can I ask you some questions? The first thing I usually say is, way to go for being honest. I mean, way to go for at least saying that. Because the default response for a lot of people who swim in Christian waters very long is to fake it. Right? We don't tell each other how we're really doing. You're struggling with something, you got questions about it. We don't really tell each other that. We fake it at church. We pretend. It's just, well, how are you doing? I'm doing great. Now, I know we go over this every now and then, but we got to cut this out. Well, how, I'm hunky-dory, peachy-keen, oakley-dokley. That's what I am. I am living life, loving the Lord, serving people. I'm great. Thanks for asking. Do you understand how creepy that is? Do you understand how ridiculous that is? Do you understand that you're not really fooling anyone? Like, it stinks to high heaven when we try to do this, when I try to do this. That kiss, kiss, shallow, spiritual fakery, it does not bring honor to God, and it will not help us. Your friends outside of the faith smell this before anybody else does. I don't know how to say this any other way, but your friends outside of the faith, they smell that stuff that is fake, that is not genuine, when you try to like bluff your way through it. And how do I put this? All right, I said this before. Can I do it again? It's like your own bad breath. You kind of got used to it, but the rest of us haven't. Now, I'm just going to say this out loud. You're kind of like you don't even notice it anymore. Meanwhile, it can still peel the chrome off a trailer hitch. Where were we? Oh, yeah, self-awareness. It's about self-awareness, not self-hygiene, self-awareness. Self-awareness, it's about honesty, where you get to a place where you go, yeah, that I'm not kidding anybody, am I? This stinks. How you doing? I'm struggling. I got a question. I need help. I don't want to do this alone. Okay. When somebody comes to me and says that, then do I have permission to ask you some questions? And we'll kind of go through some things. Some of them revolve around those different strategies that we have, the ease. But one of the questions I'll ask is, do you feel like you're catching any momentum with the teaching, with what's happening in the worship from week to week? That last communion experience, was that good for you? When we talked about this in Genesis, and then the next week, and then the week after that, but it all came back to you being an image bearer of God. Do you feel like you're catching some momentum in all of that? Does that make sense to you? In other words, are you here? Are you showing up? And people will honestly say, not exactly. I mean, a little bit, but not, I don't know, few weeks I'm here. But again, listen to me. Nobody's taking attendance, and nobody gets bonus points for perfect attendance. That's not what I'm saying. But I am going to be real honest with you. You're not going to get much momentum in your spiritual life if you're not getting fed and you're not doing this with other people. We catch traction when we go, wait, I can build on this thing from week to week to week. And this next series will be a way to do that this summer. Am I saying that it's the be-all, end-all? I'm really not. I'm just saying it's a way for some of us to do this. By the way, if you're not here, and I just got through admitting that none of us are going to be here every week. I just got through admitting that we're busy and that we've got things going on. But if you want momentum, if you want to catch traction, then do what I do. Engage online. Do what a whole bunch of people are doing right now. Engage online. When I say engage online, I mean you're actually like participating online. You're not like, it's not like you have it on like background noise, you know, while you're cooking breakfast. Anybody want blueberries in their pancakes? Oh yeah, our God isn't awesome. Yeah, it's not that. That's not it. Okay? We don't even sing that song anymore, do we? So it just came to me. That was inspiration. It's not that. It's you like engaging. Last week when Jarrett was talking, before Jarrett was talking, when there was worship, we're sitting there with friends, and I'm worshiping. Now, I'm not singing so loudly that I'm freaking people out, but things are coming out of my mouth because I need good words on my lips. And it's like, God, yes, thank you, thank you, thank you. When we get to Jarrett and he's asking questions, and will you turn to someone and talk? Robin and I are talking. Okay, this is what I think I'd like to. This is, I'm taking notes. I'm talking back to the screen. I'm engaged. And I'm catching traction. I've got momentum because now I know. You see, I know the difference between wanting and willing. I can hit the ground running this week, and then I go. So I would encourage you, even if you're not here, stay with, let's do this together. We're going to try to help you. It's not all about this 70-minute experience. It's not. We're not that good. We're not suggesting that. But it is a part of it. Now, the rest of it is, real quickly, and we're not going to go through these in as much. Oh, wait, I almost did the same thing. Hold that right there. The youth crossing and the kids crossing, it's the same thing. Youth Crossing Tour is that all the youth are going to each of our campuses this summer, so they'll get a chance to hit all of the campuses. If you are not involved in youth stuff yet, this is the perfect time to go because everybody's kind of going to each other's campuses, and there are new faces everywhere. It's the perfect time to jump in. If you want more insight on that, then just go to the website. Kids Crossing, same thing. It's a chance for you to engage. It's a chance for them to keep things rolling. You're good parents, so you know what consistency is. Set your kids up for success this school year by giving them a consistent shot at some spiritual growth in their life. Okay, so there's that. Now let's go to the next one real quickly. These are just a bunch of ways. Many of them are group ways that you can step in this summer, short-term classes that you can take. Some of you are like, well, I've never taken a class here. Well, here's your shot. Try one of these. Some of these are really cool, really practical. Some of these are very deep, frankly. I'll give you one that's an individual activity, that 40-day Bible reading plan. People have asked, like when we did the Proverbs thing a few months ago, people said, I love that because it gave me a place to start. I never know where to start in my Bible. 40-day reading plan. If you go to our calendar, you go to the website, hit calendar, boom, it's right there. One of our pastors put together something there, and it's 40 days of reading about Jesus in Scripture. So by the end of the 40 days, you will have a real sense of this one and only. It's a great way for you to do this. And by the way, for those of you who are doing the math, 40 days. Now, there's a biblical significance to that. But we've got like 60 days or so left of the summer, right? 40 days. We even worked in your cheat days. You don't even have to hit every day. You can do this. This is realistic. So that's something. It doesn't even have to be that. You can get involved with what's happening in other ways. Let's go to the next one if we could. There are so many different ways that you could serve around here. I'm not selling these. I'm just showing them to you. When people say, oh, I want to get involved. I want my life to have meaning. I want to do something significant. There's a bunch, and that's just for the next few weeks. Some of these are like really empowering things where you get to make a difference in a community. It's a one-shot deal. Grab somebody and say, let's go do that. Some of these are just fun. Can we say that? It's okay to have fun. It's okay to meet other people. It's okay to take the risk and go, wait, I need to meet some guys. It'll be awkward. It'll be weird. But we're going to do everything we can to help you. Now, you'll still have to take that step because I can't make you take it. I can't take it for you. But let me tell you what will happen if you take that step. If you take that step, what you will find is real people with real struggles chasing after the real God. Now, let me give you a real word. Whatever God leads you to do, when you step off of this thing, when you jump into the water, there is a loving God like the very best parent ever. He is present. He is with you. Sometimes you're going to have fun. Like you are going to float and splash and do the backstroke. But sometimes you're going to do everything you can to just keep your head above water. Because life is really good, and sometimes life is really hard, and usually it's someplace in between. But the God of the universe wants to do this with you. What's your alternative? But to do this alone? Be cautious? Hold back? It's a boring, gray-toned, fuzzy existence, and you don't want that. You weren't made for that. You see, some of us are so used to the bland life, I think that's why we get suckered into this idea of hero worship. Do you know what I'm talking about? Gene Peterson writes about this, and I'll give you this, and then we close. But Peterson says that, you know, when you read Scripture and you see, like, Abraham and all of these different guys, you're expecting somebody that you can look up to. But if you really read the stories, not so much. Abraham was a liar. Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Peter was a blasphemer. I mean, that's the scriptural story, okay? What they have in common is they all trust Jesus. And the whole story is, do they trust God? That's the whole story. So he writes this. He says, He says, the Bible refuses to feed our lust for hero worship. It just tells us about God. It will not pander to our adolescent desire to join a fan club. The reason, I think, is clear enough. Fan clubs encourage secondhand living. Do you know what that means? That means if you get enamored with somebody else's life, you start trying to live your life vicariously through them. It could be somebody you know at church. It could be somebody that you're following on social media. It could be somebody who you just looked up to. It could be you're trying to live vicariously through your kids. You got to live your life. It's your life. Don't try to live through somebody else's life. This hero worship thing is not good for the worshiper or the worshipee. It's destructive. You live your life. Don't get sucked into thinking that your life is bland and boring. I promise you, that's a trap that we all get sucked into. I just spent a week with some dear friends and some other dear friends, and a couple of those friends have larger than life lives. That's just the way I would put it. It's just like their lives are like, wow. I mean, a lot of you would know who they are. A lot of you would know the people that they know. A lot of you know the things. And you just sit there like, wow. Now listen to me. When we're sharing our hearts, I'm hearing stuff like the stuff that they deal with. And it's not good. It's tough, okay? But we walked away one night after having just these talks. I was like, wow. And I looked at Robin and I said, man, my life's just not as big as their life. And then I actually said, I wish I knew some of the people that they knew. Because I think in the kingdom I could do. And you see what I did? I got sucked into thinking I wanted somebody else's life. I started to envy somebody else's life. God gave me my life. My life is the life to live, not somebody else's. Don't try to distract yourself from what God is calling you to do. And don't you dare believe the lie when you come up next to somebody that you think is cooler or bigger or has it more altogether. Don't you dare think, well, my life must not matter as much. My life must just be bland and boring and oatmeal. Don't you believe it. God has called you into a big, rich, full life. And if you don't start living that life now, you will start dying now. Peterson pointed me to a Czechoslovakian philosopher. Yeah, that's how we're ending. Yes. Don't worry, you don't have to read him. I wouldn't read. He's an atheist. He's a Marxist. The guy missed on just about everything, but he got this one right. He said the terrible threat against humanity is, now just listen to this, we might die earlier than we really do die, before death has become a natural necessity. The real horror lies in a premature death, a death after which we go on living for many years. Gang, I've seen it happen. I've seen people who died years ago and they're still walking around just shallow, empty shells of what they could be. Don't do it. There is one who says, if you're thirsty, come to me and drink. If you're weary and weighed down, come to me and I will give you rest. I came to give you a life that is full. If you'll do what I say, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So, are you ready? I mean, you could hold back now. We've gotten to the end of this thing. We've given you lots of different ways to think about this, and you could hold back. God knows I've hung back a bunch of times in my life. But when I do, I miss out on what God is still calling me into. Do you believe that there's more to your life than what you're experiencing now? Because if you do, then let's go. There is a loving God who is in the water saying, I'm with you. I'm not going to tell you everything that's going to happen. It's going to be more fun for you to discover it along the way. But come on in. Let's make some waves. Are you ready? Don't waste this opportunity. Let's together vow that we're not going to take the rest of the summer off. So, would you stand with me now? I'm going to read the same words that I told you I would read you. This is the end of the service. This is the prayer. Then you already know we're all going to go out to wherever the pastors at each of our sites have said you're going to go. We're going to go have fun. Let's get to know each other. Take a risk. Take a risk and go meet somebody you don't know. Do it. If you've got kids, go get them and then go out there. If you don't have kids, please don't do that. But then join us out there and let's have some fun. Here are the words of Paul, the prayer, one more time. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your heart as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. And then these words. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you.